Well, hello there. You're here early, and you look fabulous. Are you trying to impress me? Because if you are, it's what? Your husband? No. It wasn't like that. I was just being nice. No. I'm a happily married man. No, I'm starting the show. No, show's starting now.
What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
You know, every episode you call me an angry elf and it's just rude. Hello, you beautiful people. It is wonderful to see you. I hope you've missed me as much as I've missed you. This show is the most packed one yet. There is so much going on and I haven't got time to mess around. So we're going to get straight into it. I've got to do the likes. So here we go. I've got quite a few for you this week. So here we go. I want to say a big thank you to Josh Allen, Kirsty Dawn, Henrik Skov, Chris McNansky, Holly Killian. I'm pretty sure that's Todd Killian's wife. So thanks for that, Holly. Stephen Schnee, Ron Merton, Joe Martinez, Cara Oram Green, Claire Masterson, Bridget Wells, Michael Crystalman, and Rhonda Hudson. Thank you for liking the Facebook page. It is the best way, I think, to spread the word. So I do really appreciate that. If you want to hear your name in the next episode, all you got to do is click like on the Facebook page and you'll hear your name and everyone in the world will rejoice. So one of the people I mentioned there was Josh Allen, and Josh has sent me a few messages, and here's a short one. I hope you like this. He just sent me this out of the blue. I like this. He goes, I'm a diabetic type 2. I love Christmas. Actually, I use Christmas as an excuse to eat tons of food that I shouldn't. That gets me in trouble with my doctor. That was it. I love that message. So thanks for that, Josh. He also sent this one. I've listened to all 16 episodes, not one at a time. I usually listen to 4 episodes at a time. 16 episodes of the podcast total up to 726.43 minutes or 12.1 hours. I've not listened to any of my other podcasts that I've subscribed to. Now for the bad news. I don't like Love Actually. I just don't. I've tried to think of other Christmas-themed movies that I dislike. He didn't follow that up, so I'm guessing it is just Love Actually that he doesn't like. But thanks for that, Josh, for listening to all 726 minutes. When you say it in minutes, it's not as long, is it? 12.1 hours, that doesn't seem that long either, does it really? But this episode's going to be about an hour long, so that starts pushing it up a bit more. So thanks for that, Josh. I also had a message from John McAllister, and he sent me a link to Christmas Carol, and it's a full cast radio show by Monkeyshine Media. I'm going to read you the blurb. It says, this full-cast dramatised recording of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol was inspired by old-time radio shows and produced with the idea of spreading goodwill in mind. Please visit christmascarolstory.com to donate to this production. To honour the passing of Christopher Clark, who plays the role of Bob Cratchit, 50% of all profits will be donated to ALS Research and the other 50% will be used to produce more content in the same style to benefit other charitable causes. He sent that through and I listened to it all the next day at work and I loved it. It's a really good version of A Christmas Carol. It's not massively long, slightly abridged, but I barely noticed what was missing. So I've no idea what they cut out, but it's just really good. So I highly recommend it. It's christmascarolstory.com and I will put a link on Facebook at some point. If you just type in A Christmas Carol Fullcast Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, it'll come up and you can download it. You can download it for free, but if you want to give a donation, go to the website. I actually did give a donation myself because I really enjoyed it and it is for a good cause. So thank you very much for that, John. It's much appreciated. So now let's get on with this. This is the most wonderful present Jack's wife has ever received. Well, I don't know what you think, kids, but I think that's an improvement on the original jingle, and it is more apt. So there's me telling you last week the truth that this whole segment is just so that you'll send me ideas of what to get the missus for Christmas, and I've had one person give me a suggestion. And to be honest, it's a pretty good suggestion. So it's from my new friend Elsie Newman, and he suggests buying a copy of The Earth Almanac, Nature's Calendar for Year-Round Discovery by Ken Keffer. with illustrations by Jeremy Collins. So I'll read out the blurb that's on Amazon. Earth Almanac presents the greatest hits of North American nature, structured around phenology, which is the study of seasonal patterns in nature. The day-by-day descriptions offer insights into activities and connections throughout the natural world. And Elsie says he bought this present for his wife, and it's something she reads every day, all year round. And it would be ideal, to be honest, apart from the fact that it's based in North America and I'm in the UK. So I'm guessing a lot of the nature it's going to describe isn't really suitable for me. But I still think this is a great gift for other people to buy, and it is one of those things, it's like a coffee table book that you will keep dipping in and out of. So thanks for that idea, Elsie. It's absolutely no use to me whatsoever, but it might be useful to one of you gorgeous listeners. So what is my suggestion to you guys this episode? I'm going to start with a story. When I was at university, there was a girl there who was bemoaning the fact that her dad was loaded. He had his own company, he was minted. Minted means loaded. Loaded means very rich. And she never had any idea what to buy him, because it was just, you know, he could buy anything he wanted anyway. And she had never had any idea. Now, but the thing was, the previous year, her sister had gone to a zoo and adopted a gorilla in his name. So he got this certificate and a picture of the gorilla, and he absolutely loved it. Of all the presents he'd received that year, that was the one that stood out to him, and he kept going on about it. And like, I think the girl was saying she'd bought him some clothes or something, you know, that she thought he'd really love. He was barely interested in them, but this gorilla, he absolutely loved the idea. And that's my suggestion to you. Now, the good thing about adopting an animal is it's for a good cause. So you can go to a zoo and do this, but there's loads of other agencies where you can do it, and like, you're adopting an animal that's out in the world. And also, and this is the one I'm going to be specific about, you could adopt a reindeer. And because it's Christmas, what better thing to do than to adopt a reindeer? Now, a couple of weeks ago, I did an interview with the lady that runs the Cairngorm Reindeer Centre, which is based in the north of Scotland, and it is the only free-roaming herd of reindeer in the UK. I'm sure there are reindeer herds in the States, so you would probably be able to do this over in the States. But I'm going to talk about this one because the lady I spoke to was absolutely fabulous, and I'm planning on playing that interview for you in my last episode before Christmas. So if you adopt a reindeer at the Cairngorm Centre in Scotland, and you can do it from overseas if you want to do it that way, you know, that's cool. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. This is what you get. So you receive a certificate and photograph of the reindeer, plus additional information about reindeer, some other souvenirs, and you get two newsletters over the year. And you can also visit the herd for free. But again, if you're in the States, you know, I don't know if you're going to fly over just to go and visit the herd. But, you know, if you're coming over to the UK, then that would work, I guess. Up to you, whatever. It's your life, for goodness sake. This whole segment is up to you. You know, I can't force you. But it has been a tough year for a lot of places that look after animals, not just zoos, but obviously a sanctuary for reindeer like this. They can't get the visitors they'd normally get because of the virus. So any sort of financial support they can get is like a lifeline to them. So if you can afford it to adopt an animal, you know, maybe your local zoo, because most of the time, if you do adopt an animal, you do get to go and visit the animal for free. If it's not your local zoo, maybe you want to do a reindeer because it is Christmas. I will be putting a link for the Cairngorm Reindeer Centre up on Facebook, and I do hope it's one of those things that you'll consider, because this is a gift that people will appreciate. I should have said this at the start, actually, but a few years ago, for my wife's birthday, I adopted a donkey on her behalf, and it wasn't just any old donkey. So these donkeys were a rare breed called the, I hope I say this right, Boudette de Poitou. Oh God, yeah, I definitely said that right, didn't I? These donkeys, they're giant donkeys, and there's a place not far from us, a sanctuary, where they look after these donkeys, and they're huge. They're like bigger than a horse, a lot of them. They're really big donkeys, and they're fabulous. And I adopted one for my wife. We got the certificate and the picture through the post, and then we went and visited, and we had a lovely afternoon going to see these huge, they're gigantic, these donkeys. It was fantastic. But it was a gift that my wife really loved, and similar to last week's experience gift, it was something that we had to look forward to as well, because after adopting the donkey, we knew we were going to have a day out to go and see the donkey. So if you do consider a gift like this, I highly recommend it, because it's a really selfless gift. You know, it is a gift that you're not just adopting the animal, you are giving someone the opportunity to go and see the animal as well. So it's like a day out, as well as giving money to a worthy cause. So that's this week's recommendation. Why not adopt an animal? Specifically a reindeer, but it doesn't have to specifically be a reindeer. But I'm suggesting reindeer because it's Christmas. This episode's story of shame isn't a story of someone who's done something shameful. It's just the story is just a crying shame. It's so sad. So it was sent in by Ben Cockrell, and I'll read it out to you now. I was probably 7 or 8. It was most likely the night of the 23rd of December, and I was woken up by my parents and led into the living room. They seemed mad. It was around 4 a.m. and the tree seemed to have been knocked over. There were shattered ornaments and the presents were covered. They brought my brother too and interrogated us on who did it. I obviously didn't, because I'd just woken up to be told about it. So I said I didn't do it, but my brother said the same. So my mum and dad said if nobody owns up to it, no Christmas presents. Now I was scared and kind of mad. If it wasn't me, it was my brother, and he wasn't admitting it. They started counting down, and once they got to 3, I blurted out that I had done it. Even though I didn't, I still said it, so I wouldn't lose Christmas presents. I was sent to my room to go back to sleep, and I remember having to pick up and clean everything away the next day. To this day, I never told them I didn't actually do it. Then my brother didn't admit it to me either, so maybe it wasn't either of us. And then he says, I don't know, it's kind of a funny, sad, mysterious story that I needed to share. And I'm glad you did. This is unbelievable. We may never know who knocked over that tree. Tell you what though, get this right. I've done a bit of detective work. And when I say a bit, it's next to none. I've just come up with a stupid idea. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's the 23rd of December. Maybe Ben's dad has been out on the raz, come home staggering drunk at 4 in the morning, crashed into the tree, knocked it over, ornaments everywhere, and he's like, oh, I'll blame it on the kids. Wakes his wife up, you're not going to believe what those boys have done. Possibly, I don't know, that's the best I've got on the evidence I've been given. But I just think, Ben, what an amazing sacrifice. It reminds me of the Judgment of Solomon. You remember the story where he's got like the two women are saying, oh, it's my baby, and everyone's going, no, it's my baby, and Solomon says, right, I'm going to cut the baby in half, you can have half each, and one goes, no, don't cut the baby in half, let her have it, and he's like, oh, that's the one, it must have been. So maybe if your parents had had the wisdom of Solomon, Ben, they would have gone, ah, Ben's admitted to it because he wants his presents, it must have been his brother or his dad, because his dad was drunk. I don't know. But anyway, Ben, thank you so much for sending in this story, this mysterious story. I really do appreciate it, and I absolutely love it. If you've got a story you want to share with us, you know what to do, so why aren't you doing it? Now it's this. So, boys and girls, today I've got not one, but two stories about how people found out the truth about Santa Claus. And it's our US correspondent, Scott Newman, and his colleague from Jingle Jank, Jay LaChapelle. So I'm just going to hand you straight over to Scott. Here we go.
Jay, how did you find out about Santa Claus?
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that, because this is one of, like, you know, I'm 44, and this is one of the memories that I actually have that I can still, like, in my mind's eye, I can still picture this image. And I decided to, you know, one year, I must have probably been maybe 4 or 5 years old. I decided that I was going to try to catch Santa, and I did. And that's essentially, maybe I was maybe 6, maybe a little older than that. And I snuck downstairs. I woke up early one morning, and I snuck Christmas morning, not one morning. And I tried to sneak downstairs before my parents got up, which was not hard to do back then. And unfortunately, I caught the old man wheeling a bike under the tree. I mean, it was almost like a Rockwellian moment, if you want to call it that, as he was, you know, in his robe trying to put a bike under the Christmas tree for me. And, you know, he swung around and, you know, saw me and screamed something, ah, get upstairs. You know, I took off, but that was it. That was how the unveiling happened for me. So I think, you know, all in all, I think that was, you know, a pretty good way to find out.
I have a much worse way to find out. I was probably about 10 years old. And I guess my dad decided that 10 years old is too old to keep believing in Santa Claus. So we got in the car one day and we were driving, and all of a sudden he just turned to me and he said, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And I was kind of flabbergasted, like, wait, what? And he just kind of went on like it was nothing. And then he continued on his day, like, oh, look, they're building a new Stop and Shop over there. Like, hey, whoa, 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 Dad, can we get back to what you just said here? And I said, what? And he said, yeah, there's no Easter Bunny or Tooth Fairy either. All I wanted my dad to do was maybe steer the car into a bridge abutment at that point and maybe just put me out of my misery, because it was not handled with care. And I have an 8-year-old who still believes in the magic, and I vow to the universe that I'm going to find a much more gentle way of explaining that the love that pervades all of us at Christmas is the real Santa.
Yeah.
Not the way my father handled it. So out with the old and in with the new, I guess. I hope I do a better job. So, Jack, we love your show. Thank you for airing our discovery of the true distribution of gifts at Christmas time.
So there we go. That's how they found out. Those are two very different stories, and I liked them both. So if you're not listening to Jingle Jank already, what is wrong with you? It's such a good show, okay? Each week, they talk about a different type of Christmas music. So one week it might be disco, another week it might be like punk, another week it might be songs about Santa Claus in space, and they're songs you've never heard before, and it's fantastic. I love listening to it, and I'm sure you will too. Scott and Jay have got fantastic chemistry, and they're very funny. I highly recommend the podcast. It's Jingle Jank, and I'll put a link up on Facebook or something, or you can just Google Jingle Jank and it'll turn up. And what makes it extra special is the fact that in one of their most recent episodes, I was on there. I was like their special guest, and they looked at songs from A Christmas Carol. So there's been loads of musical versions of A Christmas Carol, and we talked about the songs that have been in those versions. It was a fantastic, I think, personally, it was their best episode ever. Now, I do have one slight issue with Scott Newman, or should I say David Newman, as my mate Elsie Newman would call him. David Newman, or some would call Scott Newman, on one of the episodes said this.
I don't really like the sound of little kids singing.
What? What is that? What is that? Can you say that again, Scott?
I don't really like the sound of little kids singing.
You are my US correspondent, and you come out with a comment like that. How do you think my daughter is going to feel when she hears that? But just for you, I've got this.
I'm singing! I'm in a stall and I'm singing! I'm in a stall and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole. So it's Bjorn Hannibal's favourite part of the show. It's Robin Sings. And this episode, she's going to be singing one of the top Christmas songs of all time. Take it away, Robin.
When Santa got stuck up the chimney, he began to shout. The girls and boys won't get any toys if you don't pull me out. My beard is black, it's soot in my sack, my nose is tickly too. When Santa got stuck up the chimney, achoo, achoo, achoo.
Well, if you ask me, that was absolutely beautiful. But let's see what our US correspondent and the host of Jingle Jank had to say about it. What did you think of that, Scott?
I decided while we were listening to it that I don't really like the sound of little kids singing.
What? That's my 4-year-old daughter.
It's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Do you know what? I think you're just being nasty for the sake of it now. Is there anything else you want to say?
And I feel like the hook in this song was kind of cool, and if it were sung by somebody else, I might enjoy it more.
I'm lost for words. I am lost for words. Do you know what, David Newman, or Scott Newman, whatever your name is, I'm lost for words. See, that was silence then, just to show that I'm lost for words. See? See what you've done?
I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Okay, boys and girls, I've got something a bit different for you this episode. Over the past few weeks, I've been receiving a few emails from independent singers and songwriters that have asked me if I could play some of their music. So what I thought I'd do is a segment where I showcase some of the music that I've been sent through. And I've got three artists that I'll be playing today. So each artist, I'll give you a short biog, and then we'll play some clips of their songs. So the first artist is one you may actually have already heard of, especially if you're in the States and you watch American Idol. So this young lady is called Johanna Jones, and she's a singer-songwriter born in Las Vegas, but now she resides in Huntington Beach, California. She worked her way through college studying commercial music, and she became one of the top performers on American Idol 2019, with her audition and Hollywood Week clips going viral online, generating over 35 million views. Her husband, Matt Zaverill, actually proposed on the show. Johanna's Christmas album / EP, It's Christmas Time, features four original songs and one Little Heard cover. The album was released on Friday, November the 13th on all major streaming services. So the four original songs were penned by Jones, showcasing not only her sultry and soulful voice, but also her knack for various musical styles, including alternative gospel, R&B, jazz and pop. She says, "It has taken me 4 years to perfect each one of these songs. Each word, note, instrument, etc. has been manicured and cried over. I don't want to sound like I don't have dozens of songs in my back pocket that I'm waiting to produce, but it's fair to say that this album has been my life's work. I cannot wait for people to hear it." And I've got to say, on a personal note, I really did enjoy all of these songs. There's five songs on the album. I'm going to play you clips from three of them. And the first one I'm going to play, this is my favourite of the songs, and it is the title of her album. It's called It's Christmas Time.
Little one sleeping, resting their head. Mommies and daddies snuggle in bed. It's Christmas time, the perfect time for love. Saint Nick is flying, guiding his sleigh. Little stars shining, lighting the way. It's Christmas time, the perfect time for love.
Isn't that beautiful? What a lovely song that is. I really do love that. I think it's just perfect for sitting down in front of the fire with your girlfriend, wife, whoever, your best mate's wife. Probably that's not a good thing. Sorry, that's ruining the mood, isn't it? But I can imagine sitting down, just having a glass of wine and just chatting, listening to that song in the background. It creates such a good mood and I love it. This next one, a little bit of change of pace. This one's called Follow That Star.
Little shepherd slept in silence till an angel lit the sky with praises. With praises. Told them of the holy child, said that he would save us all. The Lord.
Do you know what? I love that song as well. Such a great gospel sound it's got going on there. And it actually features members of Gladys Knight's choir and some of the other contestants that were on American Idol the same year that Johanna was on there. You heard it yourselves. I think it's a great song. I love it. I've listened to it a few times. Every time, I just really enjoy it. This final one I'm going to be playing from Johanna's album is called Warm and Safe, Mary's Lullaby. Here we go.
Oh, my child, pure and bright. Men have traveled to see your light. Son of God, Prince of Peace, shepherds gather. Rescue them and set them free, but you've already saved me.
There we go. Another beautiful song. I like all the songs on Joanna's album, and I truly do recommend you go out and download it. It's Johanna Jones, and that's spelled J-O-H-A-N-N-A Jones, and the album is called It's Christmas Time. I will be putting links for all of these up on Facebook, and I highly recommend you have a listen. So our next one is by a young lady called Sarah Glassman. Sarah Glassman is an NYC-based musician who wears a coat of many colours. She currently serves as the music director at St. Michael's Catholic Church in the Bronx, entertains at the Don't Tell Mama's Piano Bar on Restaurant Row, coaches voice and piano, and is currently in the process of co-producing an all-original holiday album to be released in 2021. Sarah is also the co-founder of High Glass Productions. Heart, Linda Ronstadt, Band of Skulls and The Sounds are just a few of her musical influences. She yearns for nothing more than to bring people together through her many forms of performing and sharing music. You can find more about what Sarah's been up to by visiting sarahglassmanmusic.com and by following her on Twitter and Instagram at Sarah Glassman Music. I'll spell it out for you. Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Glassman, G-L-A-S-S-M-A-N, Music. So this is Sarah's song, and it's called Christmas Eve, Love Under the Tree.
City lights and Christmas trees, I'm sitting here in NYC. The city never seems to sleep, but I've got memories to keep. Christmas Eve in my hometown. Is laughing, dancing to the sound. It's Christmas Eve all around. East side, west side, uptown, downtown, gather round.
Christmas Eve, glad tidings, mistletoe, kisses,
hope,
cracking fire, warm desire.
Santa wants to bring love under the tree.
I really like that song. It's got like a real bluesy feel to it. I've watched the video a few times, and it's sort of set in various scenes around New York City. And I think Sarah's voice is really, really strong throughout the song. Again, another one, highly recommend it. I will put a link on Facebook, but that's Sarah Glassman, and the song is Christmas Eve, Love Under the Tree. So the third artist I'm going to be talking about tonight is called Rob Vischer. That's spelled V-I-S-C-H-E-R. And he's releasing an EP called Till New Year's Eve, and this is what he says. Alvin and the Chipmunks' Christmas album used to hold the title of Rob Vischer's favourite Christmas album ever. Thankfully, his tastes have evolved past his six-year-old preferences. As a Nashville songwriter, Rob used to strive for clever lyrics and timeless melodies. Now he believes music should be one thing, medicine. It's not my job to give you something that makes you say, he's so smart, Vischer says. It's my job to write something that makes you think, he's just like me, because I am. He wants to write songs that make you feel like dancing in the kitchen or hugging your family members one more time before they say goodbye. As a six-year-old kid in Jackson, Michigan, he used to feel that way every time he heard a Christmas song. That's why he wants to make more Christmas songs for you. Ultimately, he hopes his Christmas album will make you make as many memories as he made listening to Alvin and the Chipmunks. P.S. Rob has had his songs featured on The Young and the Restless, in commercials, and on inappropriate reality shows that he'd rather not name. So all the songs are quite upbeat. And this is the first one. It's the title track from the EP, and it's called Till New Year's Eve.
December 25th isn't enough. Why stop at one day? Let's go the rest of the month. Take some time off. Leave on the lights. Let's empty our days and fill up our nights. Oh, oh, oh. You better believe I'm gonna celebrate Christmas till New Year's Eve. Oh, oh, oh. Tree and celebrate Christmas till New Year's Eve. Hey, hey.
Isn't that just a lovely song? It's just so upbeat. I love it. I could just see myself at Christmas dancing around the living room with the kids to that one. I love it. I also love the next one, and this one is called Home for the Holidays.
Good times get forgotten, get buried in the past. There's no day like a holiday to bring those good times back. December seems so cold, till I remember what's at the end of your road. We're going home for the holidays. We've seen the world and there's still no place like home for the holidays. So pack your bags, babe. We're going home.
That's a foot tapper, that one is, isn't it? Again, another upbeat one. I love that. And this is the final one of Rob's. And I love the other two. I love this one the most. And it's called So In Love. Here you go.
Trap me under the mistletoe. Sneak a kiss and don't let go. Oh, 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 oh. Don't let go. Oh, oh. Slip those mittens off my hands. Unwind my scarf, come on and dance. Real slow, oh, oh. Real slow, oh, oh. The thermometer reads without a stutter at 32 degrees. We will not freeze because we are so in love. Christmas time, we don't mind the checkout lines. In the cold December breeze, we'll up like evergreens and we will fall so slow and make angels in the snow.
I've listened to that song a lot of times and I find myself singing it when I'm at work. I love it. And I'll tell you something else I love is the video. If you go on to YouTube, type in So In Love at Christmas, Rob Fisher, the song will come up and I just love it. It's so much fun. It's like they're dancing out in the street. It's choreographed, but these aren't professional dancers. These are real people, and it's brilliant. And there's a twist at the end of the video that I think you'll like. Seriously, check it out. So those are all the songs. I really hope you've liked them. If you have, please, please, please get out there, download them, look them up online. These songs are just so good, and they're as good as anything else you'll find in the charts this time of year. And in my opinion, some of them are much better. And I think these songs are good enough to be real Christmas classics. So please check them out. I will put links up on Facebook, but you shouldn't need that. I've told you their names. It's Joanna Jones, Sarah Glassman, and Rob Fisher. Check them out. Google them. Look on YouTube. Go onto Spotify. Go onto Apple. Go somewhere and listen to their songs. I'm not getting paid a cent for this, but I do think that independent music is just as good as the music that's out there backed by million-dollar record companies. So get out there and check out some new music, and I know you won't regret it. So boys and girls, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. It is the return of the Christmas movie quiz. Now, the last quiz I did was incredibly popular. I got loads of emails. And when I say loads of emails, I got one email, which for me is loads of emails. And I figured I'll do one more quiz before Christmas. So it's going to have the same amount of questions as the last one. So that's 30 for those of you that were here last time. And it's going to be three groups of 10 questions. And then at the end, I've got a special guest star and we're going to see how they got on. So the first round is where I take the name of a very popular Christmas film and then I flick through the thesaurus and change the words to other words with the same meaning. I'm going to give you an example. This is the example I gave you last time. If I said departed in the company of the breeze, that would be gone with the wind. Okay? That's not a Christmas film, but I'm just giving you an example. This is movie number one, and the title is This is a Splendid Existence. I'm going to say each one twice. It's not an echo, it's just me repeating myself. This is a splendid existence. Number two, nationwide ridicules Yuletide holiday. Nationwide ridicules Yuletide holiday. Now, I don't know if you're writing these down or if you're just trying to remember them in your head, but don't be one of those people that goes, oh yeah, I would have said that. I probably would have said that. I'm not having that, okay? So I shouldn't be interrupting myself during the quiz. This is very professional stuff. Here we go. Number three, in one's private dwelling by oneself. To repeat that one, in one's private dwelling by oneself. Number four, gentle bell sounds for the whole distance. Gentle bell sounds for the whole distance. Number five, a hymn sung at the winter solstice. A hymn sung at the winter solstice. Number six, the provision in a legal document for Father Christmas. the provision in a legal document for Father Christmas. Number 7, adorn the corridors. Adorn the corridors. Movie number 8, let's rendezvous in a city in Missouri. Again, let's rendezvous in a city in Missouri. Number 9, vacation hotel. And that one again, a vacation hotel. If you've got a picture of this, I'm a bloke in my living room just spouting this into midair. What is that? In the hope that someone somewhere is listening to this thinking, I have no idea what this guy is talking about. Sorry. See, this is it, because I'm doing it on my own. I'm starting to feel a bit self-conscious, to be honest. If there was people in the room, it'd be fine, because it's a very strange thing doing a podcast on your own, kids. Shall I just move on? We're nearly at number 10. This is number 10. An assortment of edible kernels. An assortment of edible kernels. I just say that's kernels spelt with a K-E-R-N-E-L-S. Okay, how'd you get on? Well, I didn't expect you to get all of them, but I thought you'd do better than that. Okay, that's fine. Well, you're doing your best. Okay, here we go. So the next round is the audio round. I know it's a podcast, so it's all audio. Don't give me a hard time about this, okay? Please don't give me a hard time, because I'm sitting here on my own in a room just talking into midair. Okay, and you're at home giving me a hard time going, you're an imbecile, Jack. Yes, maybe I am, but I'm doing a quiz. I'm a quiz master, okay? I'm a master. So there's that, I guess. Should we just move on? This is when I say the audio round, it's a bit of, I'll play you a bit from a movie. You've got to tell me what the movie is, okay? Okay? Right then. This is movie number, I'm only going to play these ones once, okay? Because it's just once, okay? So get your pen and paper ready. Here we go. Number 1.
I want to see her nipples.
But this is a Christmas show.
Well, Charles Dickens would have wanted to see her nipples then.
That was number 1. This is number 2.
Ah, fragile. It must be Italian.
Well, I think that says fragile, honey.
Oh, yeah.
That was number 2. Can you guess what's coming next? Yeah, you're not getting a point for guessing what's coming next. Don't start getting excited. Goodness me. Right, this is number 3.
Haven't you heard of peace on earth and goodwill toward men?
No!
Okay, here comes number 4.
Thank you for not shouting at me.
That was number 4. This is number 2,730. Sorry, just kidding. This is number 5.
Did I turn off the coffee?
No, I did.
Did you lock up?
Yeah.
Did you close the garage?
That's it. I forgot to close the garage, that's it.
No, that's not it.
What else could we be forgetting?
Here's number 6.
I beat the shit out of some kids today. But it was for a purpose. It made me feel good about myself. It was like I did something constructive with my life or something, I don't know. Like I accomplished something.
That was number 6. Have you ever been to one of those quizzes, in a pub quiz, right, and you're there, and you're like, hang on, he just said number 12, but I've only got number 11 down here. Have we missed one? I don't know, we'll go for the... Now I've forgotten where we were. What's this? Should we just say it's number 12? Oh no, it's not 12. It's number 7. This is number 7.
It's 5 minutes to midnight.
Hey, what gives? It was 5 minutes till midnight 4 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Right, no more messing now, kids, okay? This is number 8.
Am I talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss her instead of talking at her death?
How's that?
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking at her death?
That was number 8. And have you ever noticed that number 8 looks just like a snowman? When Robin was really little and I was trying to teach her numbers, I'd just say, come on, it's a snowman. What's a snowman? What number's a snowman? Sorry, I said no more messing, didn't I? This is number 9. Yes, 9. This is number 9.
Pretty Frosty.
They want Frosty?
They do not get Frosty.
That was number 9, and this is the last one. It is number... I bet you're thinking, oh, he's going to say something funny. Nope, 10.
I was instructed to come here in answer to your prayer. Who are you? I'm an angel. I beg your pardon? I'm an angel. No wings at the moment, but...
You're an angel. Well, I knew that. I've been working too hard.
Okay, there we go. That was your 10 audio clips. Now we're on to the final round, and what I'm going to give you is 10 characters from 10 different movies. Now here's the thing. The more famous the movie, the more obscure the character is going to be, okay? So if it's a film that's not quite so popular, I'll probably give you the name of the lead. If it's a film that's really popular, I'll give you one of the secondary or tertiary characters. You know, tertiary means third level. Did you know that? Well, if you've learnt nothing else today, kids, you've learnt that. Right, so this is a little bit trickier this round, so I'm actually going to give you the year that each film came out. That should help you a little bit. Here we go. Number one. The film was from 1988, and the character is called Richard Thornburg. Richard Thornburg. Okay, number two. This one is from 1987, and the character's name is Del Griffith. Say that again, because I said it really badly that time. Del Griffith. That was just as bad, wasn't it? Okay, number three. This is from 1947, and the character is called Doris Walker. Doris Walker. Now, this next one is from 2017, but the character has appeared in three films, and her name is Amber Moore. Amber Moore. The next one is from 1984, and a character is called Billy Peltzer. Billy Peltzer. That was number five. This is number six. The film was from 1946, and the character is called Sam Wainwright. Sam Wainwright. Next one is 2015, and it's Miley Cyrus is the character, and she's played by Miley Cyrus as well. Miley Cyrus, 2015. Okay, number eight is Sybil Stone. So the year for that is 2005, and the character is called Sybil Stone. Next one, 2018, and the character is called Donna Who. Donna Who. And the last one, this is quite a tricky one. The character's name is Mr. Poppy, and the character has appeared in three films. His actual name is Mr. Desmond Poppy, but I think you only find that out in the third film. And the first time he appeared as Mr. Poppy is 2009. Mr. Poppy, 2009. Okay, those are your 10 names. And now here come the answers. Okay, boys and girls, now I've got a treat for you. I've got a special guest star, celebrity guest from the Christmas Podcasts podcast. It's Sean Sotka. Am I saying that right? Sotka.
You got it perfectly.
Sean is an expert. In the first quiz I did back in episode 5, he got 9 out of 10. In the last quiz, he scored exactly the same as Jerry Davila. He got 24. And today, he assures me he's got all 30 correct.
So... No, he didn't say that. Come on now.
Okay, so the first one, This is a Splendid Existence. What have you got there, Sean?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's correct. Well done. Good work. Okay, the second one, a little bit trickier, I think you found this one. Nationwide Ridicule's Yuletide Holiday.
I think I actually caught it when I went back to it. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
It is. Well done. Good work. Okay, that's 2 for 2. The third one, In One's Private Dwelling by Oneself.
Home Alone.
Good work, Sean. That's 3 for 3. Probably got all 30 at this rate. Next one, Gentle Bell Sounds for the Whole Distance.
Jingle All the Way.
Yes, very good. Okay, now I know you had a bit of trouble with this one, so let's see if you got it. A Hymn Sung at the Winter Solstice.
The only thing I could think of is, and I'm pretty sure this is wrong, is Silent Night.
No, that would work. That would work. But A Hymn Sung at the Winter Solstice is just a Christmas carol.
Oh, you're tricky, man. You're tricky.
So the next one, I think you got this one. I'm just judging from the look on your face. The provision in a legal document for Father Christmas.
The thing that gave it away for me was the legal document. It's Santa Claus, C-L-A-U-S-E.
Yes, well done. Okay, we're back on form. The next one, Adorn the Corridors.
Deck the Halls.
Yes, Deck the Halls, one of the greatest movies of all time. Not just fantastic.
I don't know about greatest, but I did enjoy that movie, although a lot of people really didn't.
Do you know what? I like it as well. I do, despite the fact that the reviews for it. It was on How Did This Get Made? And they slated it. I still liked it. I thought it was all right. Yeah, it's a bit of fun. Okay, next one. Let's Rendezvous in a City in Missouri.
And some people, they're on the fence about this being even a Christmas movie, but it's Meet Me in St. Louis. And it's because of Judy Garland's song in there, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That's why they associate
it. That's why people think it's a Christmas film. Yeah, I did use this in the last quiz, Meet Me in St. Louis. And yeah, it's got a Christmas extended scene, but it's not really a Christmas film. But I was running out of ideas, so I chucked it in there. next one, Vacation Hotel.
Vacation Hotel, again, another one they don't touch on it, but it's not really a Christmas movie. It's Holiday Inn.
That's right. Yeah, again, you're right. It's not necessarily a Christmas film, but yeah. And I think you got the last one, An Assortment of Edible Kernels.
And it's kind of like My Family, Mixed Nuts.
Well done. Okay. How do you feel about that film? Did you like it?
I never really watched it all the way through.
Oh, wow.
But I have heard of it. I've heard people talking of it, which is why it clicked in my mind.
So the next one, I'm just going to play the clips again for everyone to listen to, and then we'll see how Sean got on. So the first one, here it comes.
I want to see her nipples.
But this is a Christmas show.
Well, Charles Dickens would have wanted to see her nipples then.
And what have you got for that one?
Scrooged.
Of course. Okay, here comes the second one. Very easy, this one. Here we go.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Well, I think that says fragile, honey.
Oh, yeah.
And what have you got for that one?
No, that would be from A Christmas Story.
Well done. Okay.
Haven't you heard of peace on earth and goodwill toward men?
No!
Third, you had a bit of trouble with this one. Did you get it in the end? What did you get for number three?
I don't think this one's right because I heard some voices on it, but it's a really obscure one, so I don't think it's right. It's the Trolls in the Christmas Express is what I
heard. Oh, no. None of my films were as obscure as that. It was just A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, well, my daughter-in-law will kill me for not getting that one. It's their favorite one.
Yeah, I love it. That's the first Christmas film I watch every year because I can watch it sort of, you know, just after Halloween. I'll get onto that one.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, I'm pretty sure you got the next one. Let me just play it.
Thank you for not shouting at me.
And what did you get for that?
Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Well done. And I know you got the next one as well. Hold on, let me just play it.
Did I turn off the coffee?
No, I did.
Did you lock up?
Yeah.
Did you close the garage?
That's it. I forgot to close the garage, that's it.
No, that's not it.
What else could we be forgetting?
Okay, what did we get for this one?
Yeah, you gotta love these people for getting their kid at home. Home Alone.
It happens. We've all done it 3 or 4 times. Let's face it.
No.
Okay, here's the next one.
I beat the shit out of some kids today. But it's for a purpose. It made me feel good about myself. It was like I did something constructive with my life or something. I don't know. Like I accomplished something.
And what did you get?
I've never watched this movie all the way through. The only reason why it stuck with me because I recognize the voice of Billy Bob Thornton. That would be Bad Santa.
That's right. Yeah, the voice gives that one away, definitely. This is more of a classic. Let's have a listen.
It's 5 minutes to midnight.
Hey, what gives? It was 5 minutes to midnight 4 minutes ago.
Exactly.
And what did you get?
You got to love Tom Hanks and especially the time-bending situations of the North Pole. That would be Polar Express.
Well done. And, this is another classic. Let me just play it.
Am I talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss her instead of talking at her desk?
How's that?
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking at her desk?
And what did you get?
That is a classic movie. That's It's a Wonderful Life.
Well done. Okay, now we're up to number 9. Here it comes.
Free Frosty.
They want Frosty?
They do not get Frosty.
And what did you get for that one?
Free Frosty, Free Frosty. That would be Christmas with the Cranks.
Well done. Yes. I think that's a little bit of a tricky one, that one. The first time I saw that, I think, was last year.
I've seen that a few times. I actually own that on DVD. So, yeah. That one, yeah, it clicked with me. So, I mean, that's another one that gets mixed reviews, but me personally, I like it.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. I'll say that for it.
I was instructed to come here in answer to your prayer. Who are you? I'm an angel. I'm an angel. No wings at the moment, but
you're an angel. I knew that. I've been working too hard.
Okay, so I know you know what the next film is, but you weren't sure which title you're going to go for. So what are you going to say?
I'm going to say the bishop's wife.
It is the bishop's wife.
All right. That was the first 9
points.
I had preacher's wife down too, in case, because that was the one that we made later then.
That's the one with Whitney and Denzel. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, 18 out of 20. It's looking pretty good, but I'm concerned it might all fall down at this point because it is a bit trickier this round. So from 1988, we've got Richard Thornburg. What's he in?
I took a total shot in the dark on this one and said Holiday Inn.
No, Die Hard.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's the TV, the news guy. Okay. Number 2 is Del Griffith.
Del Griffith. This one, I know the name. I know I've seen the movie and I'm kicking myself because I brain farted. So Jerry's going to be able to get back at me because I asked him how he could miss something that was so obvious to me. So Jerry, here's your redemption. I have no clue.
Got a feeling this might be more of a holiday movie than a Christmas one. It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes. Yes. That's why I knew it. God, I guess I'm going to kick myself for not knowing that one. That one actually gets played a lot at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think it's a sort of Thanksgiving holiday film. It gets played a bit at Christmas, but
Del Griffith, that was John Candy's character, wasn't it?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Well done. Okay.
I get half a point for getting the actor right?
No. Okay, number 3, Doris Walker.
Yep, from 1947. Doris Walker is the mom in Miracle on 34th Street.
Well done. Well done. In this remake, I think she's called Dory Walker.
Yeah, I think so.
With Elizabeth Perkins.
Yep.
Okay, number 4, 2017, the first time the character appeared of Amber Moore. What are you going for?
This one I just took another shot in the dark. Is the Christmas Prince?
It is.
Whoa! A Christmas Prince. Whoa! Yes. And the only reason why I went with that one, because I knew they doing a whole bunch, and I think there's actually a fourth one coming out this year, too.
Oh, live the dream.
Yeah, so...
Oh, dear. Well, we're all looking forward to that. Did you say you haven't seen the other three?
I haven't seen any of them.
No.
but I knew because I knew there's like three of them because I follow enough podcasts and like love them with the Hallmark podcasts and like Netflix. And I think this is on Netflix. They have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I saw a bunch of like the Christmas Prince ones were on Netflix. So that's why.
Yeah, that's it. Well done. Good work. Okay. Not necessarily considered a Christmas film from 1984, Billy Peltzer.
Billy Peltzer. And you said this one would get mixed up with Die Hard.
No, not mixed up. I said both of those two are not necessarily Christmas films.
Oh, okay. So that's okay. Never mind. So I was thinking that wrong. And I am still blanking on that. I have nothing.
It's Gremlins.
Oh, God. Billy, main character.
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry's got two now. He can kind of, okay, here you go, buddy. No, he's got one.
Well, you never know. He might not have got them. You've done well so far. Okay, so we're going for number 6 now, and I'm pretty sure you would have got this. Is Sam Wainwright.
Sam Wainwright is the guy that called in when they were talking on the phone, Donna Reed and Jimmy Stewart, who are the actors in A Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful
Life. That's right, yep. Hee-haw, hee-haw.
Yep.
The guy. Okay, 2015, Miley Cyrus plays Miley Cyrus.
The only thing I can think of, and I don't know if I get the whole title right, is Bill Murray's Christmas Spectacular.
Oh, that's not it. It's a film, you see, but that's a special. But you're right, she is in that. I'm going to give you half a point. I probably should have, but if you're listening at home and you put Bill Murray's Christmas Special, you can have half a point, but it's actually the film's The Night Before with Seth Rogen. Have you not seen that?
No, I have not seen that one.
Seth Rogen and... Oh, dear. I'm going to edit this bit. It's the guy that was in... Third Rock from the Sun? He's been in loads of stuff. Really famous. Played Robin in The Dark Knight Rises. He's
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon, yeah, they're both in it. It's 2015 Christmas film. Okay, so you can have half on that one. Okay, 2015, Sybil Stone. No, 2005, sorry, Sybil Stone.
2005, Family Stone, because the name of the movie's in the last name of the character.
Yes. Okay, I think you got the next one, judging by your reaction. 2018, Donna Who.
Donna Who, is that Cindy Lou Who's mom from The Grinch?
It is in 2018. I won't give you a bonus point, but do you know what her mum was called in the Jim Carrey version?
No.
it's Betty Lou.
Betty Lou. Oh, yeah. Now that you say it, it rings a bell. Molly Shannon is the actual actress that does Betty Lou Who.
That was it. Oh, yep. Well done. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, last one, and a very, very difficult one, I think, this one. Mr. Poppy.
Mr. Poppy's Christmas is All I Had.
No. So these films, I don't know if they made it to the US. It's called Nativity, and Mr. Poppy is like a teaching assistant, and each film is about a teacher putting on a nativity play. And the first one stars guy that played The Hobbit. From The Office, The British Office. Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman. I would have known him from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Arthur Dent. Yeah, well done. So the first one starred the first one starred Martin Freeman. The second one starred David Tennant from Doctor Who. And the third one starred Martin Clunes, who's a very famous British actor. So I wasn't sure if you would have...
That one.
No, it might be worth checking them out. They're okay. They are what they are. Have a look. Yeah. If you've not seen the Nativity films, have a look. I think they're mainly on Amazon at the moment. So let's see what you scored up there.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 23.
I've got 23 and a half. I gave you half a point for Miley Cyrus. That's half a point less than you got last time. How do you feel?
I feel your challenge game is getting better and better each time because you're challenging
by half a point.
Because you're challenging us to think, which is fun to do, especially when I put on the spot. I actually think I did better than I thought I would, considering I was put on the spot and I tend to really freeze up. So
you did well. I'm impressed. Like I said, I think I would have got most of the movie clips. I think the first two rounds I would have done pretty well in, but the last one I just would have fallen apart. I probably would have got three, maybe. Yeah, a push, maybe not even three. Well done, Sean. Thanks very much. Do you want to tell people a bit about your show? I did recommend it in a previous episode on my show, didn't I?
Yes, you did. It was
I'll let you do it. You can do it with a bit more panache than I did.
Yeah. I don't know about panache, but Christmas Podcast Podcast. We work in conjunction with ChristmasPodcast.com, and what we do is we are recommending to listeners out there Christmas podcasts. We look and search for Christmas podcasts to host on our website, giving basically the listener a central location to go find Christmas podcasts to go listen to. Total Christmas Podcast is part of that. We're up to almost 20 podcasts and still looking for podcasts to come on. We tell people what podcasts had episodes drop. I've been talking and interviewing hosts of the podcasts. You're going to be on one of our, probably by the time this thing drops, you have been on an episode of Christmas podcasts. So that's our goal, is to get those who love Christmas to be able to find podcasts to listen to, the great podcasts like Total Christmas Podcast.
That is a great podcast. Yeah. Thank you, Sean. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Jack. I've had a lot of fun. This was great. And I enjoyed talking with you.
So there we go. That was the quiz. I really hope you enjoyed it. Sean scored 23 and a half. Well done, Sean. If you did better or if you did worse, why not email me and let me know your score? And now it's time for this.
Yo, lads, you'll love them. I'll love them. We'll love them. We'll love the yo lads, the yo lads, the yo lads, those yo lads. Yeah.
Do you see what I did there? Right. So this segment is Bjorn Hannibal, my Scandinavian correspondent. It's his favourite segment, right? But his least favourite thing is my loathsome children. That's his word, loathsome, not mine. So what I did was I combined the two. So now Bjorn Hannibal is going to be at home going, I don't know what to do. And that's probably not the way he speaks. Moving on. This week's Yule Lad is Door Sniffer. Okay, now as soon as you hear the name, straight away you're thinking, oh, he's some dirty perv with some weird fetish where he gets his jollies from hanging around doorways having a good sniff on them. But that's not the case. It's not. Sadly, I think that'd be much more interesting. The true meaning of his name is a lot more mundane. So he comes down on the 22nd of December and he goes back home on the 4th of January. And this is his verse of the Yule Lad's poem. 11th was Door Sniffer. adultish lad and gross. He never got a cold, yet had a huge sensitive nose. He caught the scent of lace bread, while leagues away still, and ran toward it weightless, as wind over dale and hill. So just a quick note about the lace bread. It's also called leaf bread, because it's very, very thin bread. I did discuss this in the episode I did where I talked about Christmas in Iceland. Leaf bread, or leiva bread, that's how they say it, roughly. It's, like I say, very flat bread. They cut pictures into it and then they fry it and it's lovely stuff. So I guess Door Sniffer has got a fetish, but it's a fetish for leaf bread or lace bread rather than sniffing doors and getting his jollies. One thing I want to say is, he's got a big nose. Don't have to like make a big thing about it. These poems are only like, what, 8 lines long? And one of those lines is just talking about the size of his nose. And the other line's like, well, he never gets a cold, so I suppose there's that. Let's not give him a hard time because he's got some big nose. Maybe you do need to talk about this big nose, because he uses it to smell leaf bread from leagues away still, and he smells it. He's like, oh, I love that. And then it's like the old Tom and Jerry cartoons, you know, when like Tom might smell a pie or something and he'd suddenly float on air, drifting towards the... And that's what happens with this Yule lad. That's what he does. He smells the leaf bread and then goes and gets it. We're getting very close to Christmas now. This is the 22nd of December. Again, the presents are increasing. If you've been good, put a couple of going into it, you know, if you're getting a present. And that is Door Sniffer. Now it's this. This episode's recommendation is a podcast called Weird Christmas, and it's hosted by a gentleman whose name is Craig Kringle, and that is definitely his real name. It's not his real name. It's not. Now, I started listening to Weird Christmas about 3 years ago. I think it's been going since 2016, and it's brilliant. Originally, Craig was a collector of Victorian Christmas cards, which have got some really crazy, weird designs, and he decided to do a podcast, and the podcast covers a lot of the weird traditions. Now, the traditions that we celebrate today, it talks about their origins and where they really come from. It's not all reindeer and snowmen, kids. There's a lot more to Christmas than that, and it really is worth listening to learn about the history of a lot of the traditions we celebrate today. I can't recommend it enough. Now, I asked Craig to send me a promo clip, and he has, and I'm going to play it for you right now.
I know you. You're tired of the same old joy of human compassion, overflowing generosity, and quaint, totally anxiety-free coziness of the holidays. You need Christmas to get a little bit weird. I'm Craig Kringle, and I've got you covered. On the Weird Christmas podcast, I talk to a never-ending garland of writers, historians, filmmakers, and rampant weirdos who do their best to make sure we don't forget just how beautifully odd this holiday can be. We cover everything from Krampus to Christmas werewolves, the real winter elves like the Scandinavian Tomten and Nissa, to Iceland's 13 Yule Lads. And every year we share a good old traditional Christmas ghost story to keep things festive. I also host an annual flash fiction contest so we don't have to read Dickens again. So if you're a real traditionalist who wants Christmas to get back to its roots of creepy monsters, acknowledging the frozen, lifeless heart of winter and eating animal heads, come over to the Weird Christmas Podcast. Or check out WeirdChristmas.com and all the surreal vintage postcards I share on social media. So Merry Christmas, and here's hoping Krampus doesn't whip you off to hell.
So I love this podcast, and one of the things I particularly love is the short fiction contest, because each year people send in their short stories, and they're very short, send in their short stories, and they have a competition for the best one. But what's really cool is the episode where they play like the top 12 best stories. And I listened again only last week to last year's winners, and it was fantastic. Do you know, it's crazy because I'd listened to them the year before when the winners were announced, and I'd forgotten them. So it was really nice to listen to them again. And these stories were just, they're cool. They're twisted, but they're cool. And it's really worth listening to, even if you just listen to the one episode. But I say listen to all the episodes. There's not a massive amount of episodes he does each year, so it's really easy to catch up, and you won't regret it. I think you'll love it. So the website is weirdchristmas.com. You'll have no trouble finding it, and download all the episodes, binge listen to them, and then thank me in an email. That's this week's recommendation. So that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I have got a request I want to ask. Now, I don't ask much. It's very rare that I say this sort of thing, although I'm always saying like the Facebook page. But other than that, I don't ask a lot. I am going to ask, can I get you to share the Facebook page? Okay, it does make a massive difference. If you just click on the Facebook page, share it with your friends, or a post that I put up when I post the new episode on Facebook, if you could just share that with your friends, it does make a huge difference. Now, I wouldn't ask normally because you probably don't want to be sharing Christmas podcasts in the middle of July. Well, unless it's Christmas in July, I suppose. Okay, in the middle of May. But this time of year is a great time to share the love. If you enjoy the podcast, I'm sure your friends will enjoy the podcast. So all you got to do on the Facebook post is click on share, share it with all your friends, and hopefully a few of them will get to share the love as well. Like I say, it does make a massive difference. I think the best way to grow a podcast is by word of mouth. So if you do share it with your friends, it would make a massive difference. Now, the second thing I want to talk about, those of you that listened to the last episode will remember that I gave you a fantastic offer of if you send me in a recording of you telling me a Christmas story, you would get a Christmas card posted to you, hand-drawn and written in by Robin. Okay? None of you bothered. None of you bothered. So I told Robin about this, and this is what she had to say.
Why don't you want one of my Christmas cards? I spent a lot of time making them, and no one sent any stories to my daddy. You've made me very sad.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? She's 4 years old, and you've made her sad. You have made her sad. Now, you've still got a week to record and send me your Christmas story and to get a Christmas card from Robin. Now, she's made about 8,000 of these. They're all stacked up. She's raring to write your name in them, send them off to you. All you got to do is record a Christmas story. It can be anything about how you found out about Santa, about a story of shame, or the best Christmas ever, the worst Christmas ever, the worst Christmas present. Send us a story and we will play it on the show. That's all you got to do. It would take you minutes, and then Robin won't be sad anymore. I'm concerned that you're going to ruin Christmas. You are going to ruin my daughter's Christmas. So if you want to get in touch, the website is totalchristmaspodcast.com, or you can email us at totalchristmas@gmail.com. I'm going to be back in less than 2 weeks. Okay, here's the deal. It's getting really close to Christmas, but it's still only November. If I kept it not like I normally do, doing an episode every 2 weeks, I'd only have one episode between now and Christmas. So I'm going to be doing two full-length episodes before Christmas. That way, we get to the end of the Yule Lads, and I get to spend more time talking to you. So the next episode is probably going to be about a week today. It may be 10 days. So have a great 10 days. Start your preparations for Christmas. Get out there. If you haven't already put your lights up, go and put your lights up. Then go inside, record the story for Robin and send it to me. And I will see you in the next episode. And one last thing, you know I love you. Merry Christmas.
Nice work, Bone Daddy.
Yeah, I guess so. Just like last year, and the year before that.